The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. It's 8 a.m. Central Time. The Power Mall is now open. Our spring sale with a 15% off allergy relief products ends today. That means if you want to stock up on quercetin, silver mist humidifier additive, oregano juice, Sinew Orega, Latero Flora Probiotic, and Living Streams Multi-Blend Liquid Probiotic and OptiVita Digestive Enzymes, you have until today to get that accomplished. 15% off, by the way, that's our spring sale. It's ending today. Also, check out the daily deal. And if you don't have a way to go on thepowermall.com to do that, you can call 877-817-9829 right now while you're requesting a Power Mall catalog and ask about the daily deal and enjoy saving even more money. We appreciate that. Of course, we have the newsletter tab. And if you play on the partners tab, make sure you call to let us know that you bought something from one of the partners so we get credit for that, because that's what keeps us working here. For those of you out there who voted in the last election, I'm talking about the midterms, and then you voted in 2020, of course, and you watched all of this nonsense. 80-plus million people can't all be wrong if they think that there was something weird with that election. And that's one of the reasons Jay Valentine is here, because he's got one of the largest databases in the world with 1.7 billion records. I'm just kind of curious. We have him on the show with us. Jay Valentine, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Oh, good morning. Thanks.
One of the things, I guess, that people want to know, voter confidence, is it really there? Are we now looking at, because DeSantis just raised $88.2 million in the last 24 hours after announcing his candidacy, that this is the new alternative, the guy that pats himself on the back all the time? Are we voting for the lesser of two evils? I mean, voter confidence is like, there's no sense in going to the polls. My 95-year-old mom, when she was dying, she didn't want to go to the polls. She says, my vote doesn't matter. And I'm just like, oh, God, see, this is all part of the subject matter that we're talking about right now. What's your take on all this?
Well, understand, we're data guys. We're not political activists. So we certainly would never be in a position to tell people to not go vote. Everybody should go do that. Our position is we're looking at the data. We run the data for all of the swing states plus a half a dozen others. So we're running 12, 15, 18 states data for the voter rolls. And we compare a lot of that data with things like property tax records and things like that. And what we can tell you is that in most of the important elections that are going on in this country today at a national level or on a state level, those elections have so much fraud in them that it's more than enough to turn the election one way or the other. And that what we need to do as a country is we need to have a real-time, ongoing analysis, county by county, of the voter rolls compared to the property tax rolls, to the Federal Election Commission rolls, so we can find those contribution mules, to the PPP rolls, to find people who are in the payroll protection program, but they're actually living in a vacant lot. And we need to real time compare those rolls and get fraud out of the system, not just election fraud, but fraud in the identities of the people who are in these state rolls.
Well, so now you're working with three state legislatures right now to set these real-time database standards into play. What three states are those? Can you disclose it?
But we can't. And the reason we can't is they haven't passed their resolutions yet. And so
you don't want to upset the apple cart. The opponents will come in and try. Yeah.
Hair on fire. But let me tell you what they're doing. These are state legislators who have heard from their constituents that many of the things going on in elections are fake, and they're not necessarily talking about a statewide election. They could be talking about a school board election. So we get emails every day from people who say, look, we had a local school board election. There were 1,000 votes cast total. And we knew that most of those votes overwhelmingly were for candidate A. And candidate B, who like never showed up, was never at any of the events, et cetera, ended up winning by like 20 votes. That's happening all over the country. And people are now seeing that this vote manipulation is not just occurring for Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump or Carrie Lake. It's happening in their school boards, and people are getting really amazed at that, and they're demanding change.
Wow. See, now this is why AmericanThinker.com has an article that you guys were in charge of in your organization, and that was why Carrie Lake couldn't close the deal. I mean, she's still fighting, is she not?
Well, she is, and that's a legal situation, and our opinion, I'm sure, is the same as others, that that's probably not going to change much. The issue, however, is the Carrie Lake campaign is a real example of how we applied our technology, and what we saw was that the reason Carrie Lake lost was not because of mail-in ballots. It wasn't because of a lot of the things that people really think. It was actually real-time active interference by election commissions where they changed the voter rolls, they changed the zip codes, they changed the addresses of people the week that mail-in ballots went out. They added 22,000 new voters days before the election. Now, that kind of thing happens in every state, or I should say in most states. We haven't looked at every state, but we've looked at 25 or so. And we see that in most states, that the election commission directly or the election commission will acquiesce and let other folks come in and do things like have real-time visibility to election rolls so they can see how many ballots they need in order to win. That's got to stop. And our whole thesis in the American Thinker article and on our website, Omega, the number four, America, Omega for America, is that we need to have real-time visibility into state election commissions looking at the data. And when we do that, as we did after the fact with Carrie Lake, we can show that had Carrie Lake's campaign looked at the data of the election commission, which is publicly available, two or three times during that 30-day period, she'd be governor today.
Wow. And so this was basically an oversight on her part. But I mean, the thing is who actually suspected, and this is what Carrie is now facing, she had the opportunity to look at this stuff and she would be governor today if she did look at this stuff. Why aren't candidates in advance doing exactly what you just recommended?
The reason they aren't, and this is in defense of Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake.
No, I get it.
She didn't know to do this.
I know.
This has never been done before. So understand that the technology to be able to have real-time visibility to tens of millions of records, when you're talking about property tax rolls, FEC rolls, state voter rolls, to have real-time analysis, that used to cost millions and millions of dollars. Well, obviously, Carrie Lake couldn't do that, nor candidate could. But there are technologies today, like ours, called Fractal. There are technologies today where we can do that. And we can do it essentially, literally running on a computer the size of a shoebox. And we're doing it. And we're right now doing it. We're doing it in a bunch of states. And in 2024, we expect we're going to be doing it in every single swing state.
Okay, now here's the kicker. Because I'm reading past everything we're discussing right now. I'm always doing that because it's like my old boss told me, you're really fast on your feet. Well, I'm sitting down here. And this isn't a comedy routine, folks. But see, if Jay Valentine and his group has the capability of doing that, and there obviously is a cost for doing that, every single politician who is seeking public office could literally access your company at omega4america.com, get in touch with you, and pay you to do what Carrie Lake should have been able to do, didn't know to do, speaking in her defense, because I think she would have made a way better governor than the one that moron that's in there now. And we know the whole thing was rigged. Everybody in America knows it was rigged. We have a voting system out there that every time you even mention their name, they want to sue you and put you into bankruptcy. And this is the thing Mike Lindell is going to be facing because people like him stood up. But the thing is you guys are actually behind the scenes running the data. So, you know, you're doing this for swing states. But if a politician came to you and said, hey, this is what we want, can you run real-time data in our district that I'm campaigning in and tell me, is this chicanery going on? Could you do that?
Oh, yeah, sure. We're doing it right now in a number of states. And we're in the next few weeks, for instance, we're reloading some states where we know there's going to be some pretty good elections coming up. So in Texas, for instance, we're loading Texas this week. We have the voter records for Texas for 22 and 21. And we're going to add 23, the most recent records. And we've got the property tax records for several of the largest counties in the state. So for Texas, for instance, we're going to be loading that up in the next week or so. And we're going to be demonstrating that to Texas legislators. So we have been contacted half a dozen Texas legislators, not necessarily for their election, but because they want the Texas government to be able to clean voter rolls with this. So we're building a demonstration system, and we're doing this in three other states with four state legislators. And it's not for their reelection. It's because they want us to load their data against their property tax rolls and show their Secretary of State how dirty their voter rolls are. And we're doing it, and we're not charging them for it. I mean, we're literally doing that as a public service.
Wow, that's incredible. Good for you guys. I appreciate that. See, there are people out there, folks, that love this country. Jay Valentine, obviously. we've got all this stuff going on. And see, the thing is that you've got all these different databases. You got Medicaid recipients. You got databases of voters, some of which are dead because, you know, the old saying was dead people vote in Chicago. DMV licensees, and then now you have all of this. This is the scary part that gets me, and I'm sure you guys are addressing this, is all of these illegals are coming across the border, and the current administration wants to make them all registered voters. I know that's in the cards before the 2024 election because they want to keep themselves all in power so they can continue to wreck our economy. I mean, this is what a majority of the conservative voters are looking at. Are you looking at this, addressing this?
Well, sure. And that's exactly what we're doing with the cross check. So one of the things that happens in election fraud is a derivative of identity fraud. Now, we have deep roots there. We're the guys who built the eBay fraud detection engine to stop identity fraud on the internet. We built the TSA no-fly list underlying data to stop identity fraud from keeping terrorists off airplanes. We built the identity fraud systems for companies like Geico and State Farm to stop auto fraud rings. But we also have deep roots in Medicaid fraud, and we have deep roots in other types of state government fraud. So when we're talking to these state legislators, we're not just talking to them about cleaning the voter rolls. We're talking to them about cleaning the voter rolls, the Medicaid rolls, the PPP, Payroll Protection Program, the FEC rolls. And part of that is because third parties are using illegal aliens. They are registering them at either fake addresses or addresses that don't make sense. So they'll register 14 people at an address. And when we check the address, according to the property tax records, it's a Mongolian restaurant with no bedroom. So when we check that out, we can keep those people off the voter rolls, but we can also keep them off the Medicaid rolls, and we can keep them off the other state rolls, WIC and other programs, because state governments just until now have not had the technology to be able to do this. This would be tens of millions of dollars a year to do what we're talking about. We're going to literally do these as demonstration projects in three states at no charge. And should the state say, we want to license this technology from you, you're talking a few hundred thousand dollars a year. You're not talking millions. So this is what we're talking about. There are new technologies that we and perhaps other people are bringing to market that are really going to change the rules in identity fraud. And we're doing the demonstration projects, like I say, for three states. The fourth is Texas, which we're doing on our own. We're not doing it for the legislature. We're doing it because we live in Texas, but we're going to be showing it to legislators. And we think this is really going to make a difference because the states now can start cleaning those Medicaid rolls and saving billions of dollars for their citizens.
They can. And see, the bigger problem that the state of Texas has is we spend all this time spending a lot of our tax dollars that we send to D.C. enforcing D.C. and federal government mandates in the state. And that's been a big problem. So, you know, obviously you can keep people from ripping off the state of Texas and make the money go a lot further, even though a lot of the money this is why the Texit movement started up. So, you know, because I've been very well acquainted with Texit for a number. I'm a local coordinator for them. So it's just one of those things that, at least for the time being, the bigger problem that I foresee is that the federal government is going to do its best to try to tell the states how to run their election business come 2024 November. What's your take on that?
Well, we read about that the way you do, and that's a constitutional issue, and that's something that the courts are going to decide. We, however, are going down a different tack. Up until 2020, citizens almost never looked at voter rolls. I mean, nobody saw voter rolls up until 2020. And after the Trump-Biden thing happened, citizens in every single state in America formed ad hoc groups. And those ad hoc groups are going through those voter rolls. And I know because we're working with them and we're working with many states. And then a lot of them have no more technology than Microsoft Excel, a Big Chief tablet, and a pencil. But they're finding all kinds of things. But what we're doing is we're working with a lot of these voter integrity teams, and we're making visibility possible at scale so that thousands of people can now see how corrupt the voter rolls are. And we think that when you can see how corrupt your voter rolls are, there's going to be a national movement against having Washington centralize all this voter roll stuff. And there's actually evidence of that. So there's that organization called ERIC, E-R-I-C, which is a third-party Soros-funded group that was at one time running the voter rolls for 31 states, or at least they were claiming they were cleaning the voter rolls. But we cleaned the voter rolls in many of those states after ERIC cleaned them. And let me tell you something. After we got a hold of those voter rolls, we were finding phantoms by the tens of thousands in voter rolls that were ostensibly cleaned by ERIC. When citizens started to see this, we now have six or seven states, including Texas just this week, who have abandoned or are abandoning ERIC. And ERIC's a central control type of a concept. So I think as people see how corrupt their voter rolls are, even in red states, we've dealt in the most red state in the United States, and they have people on their voter rolls over 250 years old still voting. Now, that's pretty good. Not a lot of people can do that. But that's going on in every single state. And when we show it to people, continue to be a real pushback about some of the nonsense about centralizing this in Washington.
Well, I've got another little play for those of you out there that think that you don't have a voice in government. I have another little play under this, something Jay just brought up. And that's identity theft. And see, we have laws about that on the books under the Fair Credit Reporting Act on identity theft. And I'm thinking that if you were to isolate all of these people, this is like very similar to what we just saw. And I'm trying to think of the news story that we reported on where all the people in this particular district were registered as Democrat. I think it was in Nassau County, New York, somewhere up in New York. They were all registered in that particular county as Democrat when there were a lot of Republicans. And I think it was Nassau County, if I'm not mistaken. And they're all now calling up and complaining, hey, I registered as a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm an independent. Why does this thing say I'm a Democrat? And it's like some printer error. Some printing company printed these things up and checked everybody's affiliation as Democrat. And they call it a mistake. I'm just wondering, when you see stuff like this go on, is it possible for an individual voter, if you find out that somebody has had their identity stolen through the processes that you use, can you notify those people if they want to be notified that their identity has been stolen, provide them with the evidence that they can file a suit against the election board of elections and the supervisor and the secretary of state for allowing the identity theft to occur and actually aiding and abetting it?
So the answer to your question is that technically, yes, can be done. And the type of identity theft that's going on at scale right now is even beyond what you described. So you described an example, and when the government's pressed on it, they're going to say, well, it was a printer error. It was a printing company error. It's really interesting. Every time there's an at scale error It's always in favor of the Democrats. You will never see a story that in such and such a county, 100,000 Democrats were changed to Republicans. You'll never see that story.
No, you won't.
So where we see it, though, is here. What happens is you read those hundreds of stories around a national election. Mary and I went to the polls to vote, and they told us we already voted. Remember that story?
You heard
hundreds of those. Well, the reason that Mary and Joe already voted is because the leftist NGOs, non-government organizations, had visibility to those voter rolls. And they know that Mary and Joe hadn't voted, and there's only a day to go to vote, only a day left. So they decided that they would take it upon themselves to help Mary and Joe out. So they voted for them. Now, they probably didn't vote for the candidate that Mary and Joe would have voted for. But that's identity theft. And the answer to your question is a very insightful question. That's actually something we are working on with law enforcement right now. There are ways that we can tell who is making changes and who is actually voting these. We can't tell by the person, but we can tell by the URL because it's all being done electronically.
Wow.
So we can actually see this in the data. And in some states, we actually can see the fingerprints. We can actually tell you what computer it came from. And so we're working with law enforcement right now to make that available, because what's going to happen is we will now give citizens the ability to run multi-million dollar lawsuits, class action suits, because now we have the data to support it, showing that somebody, and whoever it was, is not important. Because the fact that the elected commission at the county level allowed it to happen makes the county liable. And so we are working with law enforcement now to make that something that we're going to be able to do on an ongoing basis. So you've raised a very insightful point.
Well, see, and the thing is I'm a paralegal, so I'm looking past all of this stuff, thinking about the possible. And see, we're not giving legal advice on the show. Jay is not giving legal advice. He's making an implied assumption based on what you could do as a registered voter if you find out you've been screwed. And this is a big thing. Every time that you register to vote and you don't vote, or that you're a past registered voter, and they know this, and you're bringing up a very valid point about the NGO. If you can actually identify the computer that made these changes and you can trace that computer to an individual, I mean, we're talking about potential criminal charges for election interference. Are we not?
Well, yeah, that's the case. But the criminal charges get your attention. But a lot of these people are looking at the civil side of this, and this is real money. And so, there's been some history here. There was actually an election in Wisconsin where members of the Wisconsin voter integrity team used our data, and they went around with tablets, electronic tablets, and they met with the voter registrar in virtually every county in the state. And they showed them something we call the undeliverable ballot database, something we built a few years ago. The undeliverable ballot database essentially says we have visibility to every voter in every address in your county. We can tell you with absolute certainty this guy should not get a ballot because he lives in a vacant lot and there's no way to mail a ballot to a vacant lot. This guy lives in a location that the property tax record says is a bank. There's no way a guy can be sleeping in a bank. He doesn't get a ballot. So they sit down with the registrar, the person who sends out the mail-in ballots, and they go, we're going to walk you through the list of the thousands of people. Obviously, they don't go individually, but they show them in groups. And they show them how their processing of data is 100 times better than what the registrar has. And they tell them, if these people vote, we're going to the sheriff and we're going after you with criminal charges. Well, they did that. And when they did that, it had a dramatic impact on how many fake voters would have voted, but those dead and fake voters stayed home that day. So it's really powerful. We have a live example. We can't get into too much detail on it.
I understand exactly where you're going with this.
Live example where this actually happened, and it impacted a major, major United States election. So we know this works. We know that when you have more processing power, and when you have more and better technology than the government has, it really changes some rules. And so legislators are saying, hey, I'm interested in the voter rolls, but can you do Medicaid? Can you do the DMV rolls to see how many people are registering for driver's licenses and under particular state laws should not? So that's what we're making available to states. It's identity fraud analysis. It's not simply voter fraud, but voter fraud is the one that's going to have the most immediate impact.
Well, it is a byproduct of everything that is wrong with what's going on in this country right now. Folks, we're talking to Jay Valentine. His website is omega4america.com. How easy is it to contact you through that website? And we have some very active listeners here that want to do the right thing, Jay.
Well, we have a form there. You just fill out the form, and people call us and email us every day, and they say, "What can I do?" Well, what you should do is write to your state legislator, write to the Secretary of State, especially in Texas, write to your state legislator and say, "Hey, look, you should take the property tax rolls and the voter rolls in your county, in your district, in your Senate district, and compare them. And if you can't, give the guys at Omega 4 America, a call, and they'll do it for you, because we're going to be doing Texas here pretty soon. But in any state, if you get a hold of your legislators, you don't have to talk about our product, but talk about the concept. The concept is, I want to cross-search the Medicaid rolls with the voter rolls, and the state should be cross-searching the voter rolls with the property tax rolls. And now what we're going to find, and you should say this in your letter, is that, hey, look, we're finding people who use one identity in Medicaid, a separate identity in the DMV, and a third identity in the voter rolls. And we want to put an end to that.
Wow, it's amazing. Chad in North Carolina, you have a question for Jay Valentine. We've got a couple of minutes. Go.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I just wanted to put this in there that, you know, Mike Lindell and others have alleged that the Dominion voting machines rigged or changed the votes. But Joel Skousen has been saying that nobody questioned the internet connectivity of the machines to allow unknown persons to alter the voter data. Have you ever looked at that?
We don't look at voter machine stuff. I mean, we know how to do that. We know how to read source code. We know how to do all that, but we don't. What we are doing is we are only dealing with voter rolls and cast ballot rolls. And as an interesting story, in your state, in North Carolina, we actually got the voter rolls from the teams there. And in North Carolina, you guys actually have control characters that are inserted in the data that make it very difficult for people who are not computer savvy to be able to search those rolls. So for the voter integrity teams in North Carolina, we actually built a program that cleans all of the crap out that your Secretary of State puts in there that makes these voter rolls very hard to process. So we cleaned all that out. And we actually run North Carolina data. So, no, we don't do voting machines. We just limit ourselves to voter rolls.
Well, this should definitely convince the legislatures to make some serious changes right now, or half of them could end up in prison for manipulation of the election. Jay Valentine, God bless the work you're doing. Thank you for your call, Chad. The website is omega4america.com. Thank you so much. We're going to have you back on the closer we get to the election. I want to see some more results here. We'll call your local legislature and get on this, folks. Now you can have voter confidence. Be back after the break. Stay with us.
Natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Joyce Reilly with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Friends.
Power to the people.
And you are my friend.
Power to the people.
I am not a crook.
Power to the people.
Yeah, God bless America, what's left of it, right?
To the people.
32 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, the Power Mall is open, by the way, for those of you who want to take advantage. It's the last day of our spring allergy relief product special. Last day, you get 15% off all those stuff that we've been telling you about. And the Power Mall is now open, so you can call and order and get what you need to get done. Now, there is a there's another book out now. It's in paperback. The name of the book is called Them. Now, you think about the book called Them, and you think, well, wait a minute, what's the difference between them and they? Could it be the CIA? Is it the FBI? Is it the NSA? No. Them could be alien beings. You know, could be them. You know, Whitley Strieber is with us. He's written a book called Them, believe it or not. It's just hot off the presses and been out on the market for a little bit. And this book features and explores official documents relating to the UFO phenomenon. Now, I know there's a lot of you out there that have seen objects flying around in the sky and were like, I can't believe what I just saw. And people called you a nut job because you said, hey, I saw something flying around and it hovered overhead. Some people actually have stories where people really think they're a nut job because I had this out-of-body experience and then I realized I was being probed up in a spaceship somewhere. And it's like, okay, now you really are a nut job. We need to commit this guy. Well, I don't know how far we can go with this subject matter. But see, the thing is that I know people personally that have actually seen unidentified flying objects And the Navy, our government, everybody has been trying to cover it up. Whitley Strieber's written a book called Them. It's the first book to ever examine the intent of the presence known as aliens or visitors from the perspective of what both civilian and military close encounter witnesses are reporting is happening to them. Whitley, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, and see, I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to put this into perspective on a lighter note, because, you know, I don't want people to think that you're a nut job, because obviously you don't look like a nut job. I'm watching you here live. And for those of you who are streaming us live on the powerhour.com website, you obviously know we have two human beings talking to each other. One of them has written a book. I've written eight. You've written a couple. You have another book out called Communion, which was basically a groundbreaking volume about your own close encounter. So that, you know, not that I'm going to give you the opportunity to do a shameless plug, but I am. What is the book Communion? What is that specific about?
Well, that I wrote that in published that in 1988. It was written starting in early 1986 after this thing happened to me in a little cabin in upstate New York in December of 85. I woke up because there was noises around me, and it was a quiet day after Christmas, night after Christmas, very quiet. And I found myself in a little room full of what appeared to me to be big insects. And obviously I assumed it was a nightmare, and I couldn't wake up from it, which was absolutely terrifying, because the more I tried to wake myself up, the more true, real, and physical it became. I was assaulted and pretty banged up afterwards. And in the morning, I was so traumatized, I knew something had happened during the night, but my wife, who'd been sleeping right beside me, said, no, it had been a quiet night. So I was left at a loss. I had no idea about any of this stuff that ever happened to anybody at the time. When I was a boy back in the 50s, of course, flying saucers were in the news all the time. But that hadn't been true in years, and so I couldn't have been less interested. I was unaware of this as something. What I didn't know was that there was a huge, one of the greatest and most extensively witnessed UFO events in history had been taking place in the Hudson Valley where I lived. I didn't even know about it. While this happened to me, I didn't find out about it until a couple of years later. So I thought to myself, what is this? I went to the doctor because I was injured. And
yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Whitley. I don't mean to interrupt, but I was going to ask you, you said that you'd been assaulted and there were actual physical scars and bumps and bruises on you.
Absolutely. I was raped, and I hate to, I don't like to go into that on too much in detail, but suffice to say, there were certainly physical injuries. And it was extremely concerning because I just didn't know what to make of it. And neither did the doctor. So we went through MRI scans, and he diagnosed the injury and began treating it. And it was such a severe injury that it was... Oh, 30 years later, I still suffer from occasional pain from it. And I have some medication for that. And we went through the whole thing, and I took mental tests. I took tests for vivid hallucinations, tests, all kinds of things. And what came out of it was that here I was, a man under a lot of stress. That's what the psychological tests showed, a normal man. In good physical health in every way, except for this injury. And, you know, what were we to think? I could not imagine what it was. I decided that it was criminal because I was already a writer. And, you know, writers get odd things can happen to people, do things to writers. It just happens. And, well, I hadn't written anything. I'd written some novels, The Wolf and the Hunger. Few others, a book called War Day, which was somewhat controversial, but nothing that you would think would inspire someone to come in and fill me full of LSD or something. But I called the New York State Criminal Investigation Division, and they couldn't help because there was no evidence except my testimony, in which the detective who came out agreed it was very compelling. And obviously I had been injured, but they had no place to start in terms of physical evidence. And so I decided to see if I could remember more. And I ended up with a doctor called Dr. Donald Klein, who was a forensic hypnotist, and he was a very prominent man. He was the head of the New York State Department of Psychiatry and had successfully solved many crimes with his skill as a forensic hypnotist. And so when I was hypnotized by him, to the amazement and frankly horror of both of us, what I remembered was this, what seemed to be in contact, a very violent contact with aliens. And I was completely, it was unbelievable. I mean, where would they have come from and how? And I thought of, what if I've been attacked by demons? I mean, what could it be? And that began what has become a lifetime of research and study. The book Communion was a huge bestseller. And as a result of that, we began to get letters. And this is before the internet, so these were physical letters.
Right.
And after a couple of weeks, the post office was coming with big bags of mail.
And of people who have, yeah,
had this experience and pouring them onto the living room floor. We had no idea of the extent of it. And that's where them comes in, because what I've done is now, all these years later, all this research, my knowledge of what's going on in the inside of that the government doesn't tell us and why is extensive, frankly. And so I analyze 11 of the letters very deeply. Now, these are only one of them is about an abduction somewhat similar to mine, because to both of my wife's and my surprise, most of the letters weren't about abductions. They were about other kinds of contact. And that was amazing, because you would think if people were making up stories, they would make up versions of my story that they'd read in my book. But no, these are, when you read these, you realize very quickly, these people aren't making this up, because people don't. No one can imagine some of the stuff that they're describing. And but in any case, when these letters were coming in, piles and piles of letters, I said, Ann, what are we going to do? My wife, what are we going to do about this? And she's passed on now, but she was really on top of it at the time. And she said, well, we're going to read them. I said, we can't read this. Look at this, thousands of letters. She said, well, you might not be able to, but I can. And she was a very quick reader, and she hired a secretary. And the two of them created a catalog of these letters. And now there's, I think, over 30,000 of them at an archive in Texas at Rice University. And they are preserved for posterity there. There's very, you know, I don't know if you know anything. I don't know exactly where you are, so. But Rice is a fine university, and this Archive of the Impossible, as it's called.
Yeah, Rice is in Houston. Yeah, I'm in Texas as well, but I mean, Rice is in Houston, so I'm familiar with the university.
Okay, so anyway, the letters are preserved there, and they are a remarkable testament of something. Anne used to say, either this is the first testament of contact are the most extensive collection of folklore in the world. It's one of the two. And I would guess it's probably contact. And I would think that we probably would be a lot better off if the government hadn't been so secretive about it. But I do understand why they were.
Well, and see, the thing is that you went to, and you had to have been apprehensive. The first question that would have come to my mind is, why me? Why did they come after me? What did I do to cause them to come and analyze or do whatever they did to me, I have physical evidence of injury. And I went to a doctor, and the doctor, I went to a forensic hypnotist, and he brought up stuff out of me. And it's like the detective didn't know what to do, because the detective would have had to go into archives and into files and look into stuff that was probably classified, and they didn't want to disclose this information. And this is probably the assumptions you came to early on, right?
Well, no, I didn't think of it in terms of anything that might be classified for a long time. I did, however, think, it took me a while. I'm not a very political person, and I'm not very involved in, I don't think about stuff like classified stuff or anything. It's not interesting to me. It wasn't. It is now. Definitely, but it wasn't then. So it didn't occur to me. I was fixated on, had I been assaulted or had some kind of mental thing, which didn't fly, because you don't have a hallucination that it leaves you with physical injuries, unless you bang against a wall or something. And this was obviously not that kind of an injury. This was the sort of thing somebody does to you. And I was just at a loss. And then when it turned out that it did look like they were aliens. I mean, they couldn't be anything else, because they certainly didn't look human, and they didn't look like anything on this earth with these great big black eyes glaring at me like giant wasps or something. And I did some research and met a man called Bud Hopkins, who had the belief that this was aliens. And he had assembled a little group of people, 10 or 12 people, who'd had experiences very similar to mine. And we used to meet together. And that was part of the genesis of the book Communion, because when I was meeting with these people, we thought maybe 50, 100 people in the United States had had this experience, that it was a really rare experience. It was nice to know other people who had. These meetings were good. I mean, they were very helpful and healthy to share something so that you would think couldn't be shared, but actually there were people who could share it with. And some of them were, one of them had been an FBI agent, and many of them were pretty high level people. So I was comfortable with those meetings. And Bud was a really good guy. He wrote quite a few books. He wrote a book about it called Intruders and other books. So that was helpful. But it didn't mean to me that it was alien contact, because I can't prove that to this day.
Yeah,
I think I can prove something weird is happening. I can prove that. But is it alien contact? How can it be all these years, these letters are mostly 30 years old, and this still happens to people all the time. But in all of that, with all of these cell phones and video cameras and doorbell cameras and CCTV, is there not one image of a person being abducted, or one image that we can rely on and say is absolutely authentic of an alien? So what the heck is this all about? And that's what them is there to explore, not to say, I'm not making a case for anything except it is weird. It is real. The government does know about it, and the military has dealt with it for years. But the bottom line is, without getting into the classified files, if they exist, we cannot draw a final conclusion about the what.
Yeah, see, because what would be the title of your next book, if you could get to that point? You've already got them. What would be the next thing? And people would go, what?
Yeah.
I said, that would be a great title for a book. What? With a big question mark, and you see these two eyes just leering at you, would be a great title for another book. The thing is that I know people personally that have seen UFOs. I look up in the sky, and I see certain things that are unexplained phenomena, and we know that they're out there. Even God-fearing Christians know that there is other life out there. It's just that some people have not had, because they all go by seeing is believing, not believing is seeing. They don't go by these stories. They think that the people there are, whether they treat them as victims or not, they consider them whack jobs. Or, I mean, there's a lot of doubting Thomases out there, like some people's parents, when the kids saw these things and they told their mom and dad, hey, I saw something up in the sky that didn't look normal. Oh, you're just dreaming. You're in. And they make fun. But this is real. You've documented enough stuff and gotten enough response. I mean, you would think that 30,000 letters coming in your snail mail certainly would be a cross representation of things to come. I mean, we obviously know that these things are still happening, which at some point in time, and then you say we don't have photos of alien abduction. What would ever lead you to believe we would ever even see something like that? I mean, maybe this is where the X-Files got all their storylines from, you know, so they could have Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny running around, you know, two FBI agents trying to explore, you know, what. So I got to ask, you know, the doubting Thomases are now starting to think you're right on.
Well, there's a lot. I'm sure there's a lot of material that's hidden. Like, you know, the Roswell incident in 1947, yeah. The alleged crash. Oddly enough, it turned out that there was a family connection there that I did not know about. One of my father's brothers, or my father's the brother, only one that survived World War II, actually, his uncle, his brother Mickey, was an Air Force officer who was at the Air Materiel Command in. It was then called Wright Field, now Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, in July of 1947, when the debris and the biological materials were brought there from Roswell. Now, I did not know anything about this because Mickey was he was in Air Force Intelligence and seconded to the Atomic Energy Commission for most of his career. And you know, you hear all these stories about these whistleblowers going out and spouting off stuff. They're not real, because I'm telling you, if you know somebody who keeps official secrets, these people are real careful, because that's a serious offense to reveal anything like that. And so we had no idea what he did, not even his family. And after I had published Communion, a very strange thing happened. He called me from his retirement in Lackland Air Force Base and said, "Whitley, I've got something I would like to talk to you about. I would like you to come down and see me." And so I was surprised, you know, because Mickey was like my father. He's extremely close-mouthed. To this day, I don't know whether my father was involved or not, only that he had some connection to intelligence work, although ostensibly he was a lawyer. Anyway, I go down there with my wife, and he proceeds to tell me about the debris brought to Wright Field from Roswell. And I was amazed. I said to him, "Mickey, is this classified?" And he said, "Yes, it is." I said, "Well, you can't be telling me this." He said, "No, in this case, I can." Meaning that he had some kind of clearance to do it. I don't know from whom, and I never asked. And then he introduced me to a friend of his, General Arthur Exon. And I talked to General Exon on the telephone extensively. And he said that not only had this happened, and I'm quoting him exactly now, he said, "Everyone from Truman on down knew that what we had found was not of this world within 24 hours of our finding it." And I again asked him, "General, is this classified?" And he said, "Yes, it is. And I'm not going to tell you anything more than I have told you." And he was pretty full. He said it was, the scientific group was still studying it, and this was in 1988. And then I talked to a materials scientist, a metallurgist called Robert Sauerbacher, and Dr. Sauerbacher did not have, he was not working, as far as he was concerned, he'd never signed anything. He didn't have a security clearance. He'd never signed a non-disclosure agreement, and so he was perfectly willing to tell what he knew, which was that he'd been working on this debris. It was of alien origin, And it was very valuable to us because we were learning a great deal about super strong metals and how they were fabricated from it, analyzing it. And it was all quite odd. And I, for example, give you an idea of what happened. I talked to Robert, Dr. Sauerbacher one day. He asked me to write him up. This is before I wrote Communion. Write down everything I remembered that happened to me and send it to him by overnight. And at that time, overnight was rather new, but there was a UPS overnight that had just started that reached our area of upstate New York. So I wrote it all up the next day, and the day after that, I overnighted it to him. The UPS man telephoned me and said, "We can't deliver it because the recipient has died."
Oh my! At that, we're at the end of our show, Whitley. If that's not freaky, I don't know what else, folks. The book is Them, and the website is unknowncountry.com. You want to research if you've seen anything, or your curiosity all of a sudden just got hairs on the back of your neck. If that didn't do it, nothing did. We'll be back on Monday, Memorial Day. We are going to be here, so you can dial us up. We appreciate it. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, what's left of it. See you Memorial Day, or so they say.
Harmful organisms are everywhere, affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.